All right, we'll start the bottom of Lamatetim with Bet, the last line. So, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rabbi. Eved, Shenosa et Bat Chorin Bifnei Rabo. An Eved who marries a Bat Chorin, a free woman, in front of his master. Yetzada Cheirut, he goes free. So what's the underlying assumption right here? An Eved Kenani cannot marry a Bat Chorin. So if he goes ahead and marries a Bat Chorin in front of his Adon, in front of his master, then it's clear that his master must believe that he was already freed. Right? As Rashi formulates it here, the Ilav Shachre, the first Rashi in the top of Mem, had he not freed him, Lo Veshovik Le the Mintza of Bat Chorin, he would never let him marry a free woman, meaning that the Adon will not allow him to do an Isur right in front of him, right, where there's no real benefit to the Adon, unless he had freed him previously. And the Tosfos Rid says in these instances that when they say Yatzada Cherut, the underlying assumption was he was freed. And then we're Kofin Rabo, we forced his master to give him a Get Shichur. If the Get Shichur doesn't exist already or it's not around, we force him to give the Get Shichur to him in order to corroborate that situation. So this is the position of Rabbi, that an Eved that does a action that's just demonstrably makes him, or demonstrably makes him into a Ben Chorin, then, and the Rav and the Adon is standing there, that means that he is a Ben Chorin. You have this from Rabbi, I mean that it's, this is the halacha that you got from Rabbi, and this is how I learned. This is a Baal, an Adon. A master writes a shtare rusin to his maidservant. Rabbi Meir Omer mikudeshet, that she's married to him. Chamim eno mikudeshet, she is not married to him. So he says, hariat mikudeshet li. So the underlying assumption is that he can only marry her if she is a free woman. And basically when he says, all right, hariat, or shtare rusin, he says, hariat mikudeshet li b'shtar zu. So that shtar is telling us that she's already free. So Rabbi Yochanan says, well, you have from Rabbi that in this case that she should be considered to be free, yet we have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So Gemara says, no, we have to differentiate between these two cases. Kadam Rabba bar Rav Shila, Kishu Rabba hini achlo tefillin, which is a case we'll see in a second in the Gemara, as Rab put on his tefillin, Halchanami Kishu Rabba hisio isha. In our case is where his master is the one who organized the shidduch. He's the one who put together the shidduch. So here, again, when the master is actively involved in creating the status of this Eved, meaning that if he goes ahead and he is Meshadech, this Eved with the Bat Chorin, and he's the one who takes a woman for him, it's clear that this Adon already freed him. Otherwise, he would never be engaged in doing something that is Asur, you know, be hands-on engaged in doing something that is Asur, and therefore must be that this Eved is free, which is not true in the case of Akotev Shtari Rusin L'Shivchato. Right, when he writes a shtar rusin to shivchato, right there he's not actively engaged. But right, the question what you have to ask over here is what's the right? Ah, very good. So what's the meaning that? What's the right? Exactly. Very good. So now you have to ask, and that was Shaul saying right away. I mean that if he can act in this manner with regards to his Eved, and we say he wouldn't do an Isur for his Eved, then why do we say he would do an Isur for himself? Right? Because that's basically what we're saying, that he would only marry the Shifcha. He wouldn't marry the Shifcha unless she was a free woman, otherwise it's an Isur. So how can we say that when he's actively involved with his Eved, he won't do an Isur, but when it's for himself, he will do an Isur, right? So that can't be. So Gemara says, right, Umi ika mide de la avde lo me'evad le Isura. Right, is there something that for his Eved, he wouldn't do an Isur? V'yu Avad Isura? But for himself? Yeah, sure, I'll marry a Shifcha. My Eved, oh no, I would never take a Bat Chorin for my Eved. But for me, I'll take a Shifcha Knanis. So that can't be the case, right, Shaul, as you said. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Chacha B'Mayaskinim, what's the case here in this Braisa that's brought by Rabbi Yochanan, or the positions that are brought by Rabbi Yochanan? Damar Latzi'i Bo V'hit Kadshi Bo. That he does two Lushonot. Right, that he takes the shtare rusin and he says, tsi'ibo, you should become free with this document, and hitkachibo, and get married to me. So had he simply said hitkachibo, right, marry me with it, then that would be the equivalent of the case of where he marries his Eved, a Bat Chorin. If he simply said, I'm marrying you with this star, then it's clear that he freed her beforehand, because otherwise he wouldn't perform any sur. Just like by Eved, we say if he's Hisio Isha, if he is involved in the Shidduch, that he freed her. So now, what's the case? The case here is where he's saying to her, you go free with this document, right? And you should get married with this document. So now, we know for sure he didn't free her before this point, because he's freeing her with this document. Rav Meir Savar Yesh B'Lashon Azeh Lashon Shechrur. Right, that's Rabbi Meir believes that when you use such a lashon, that's a lashon that is equivalent or sufficient to create a shechrur. Means the ibo, go out with this, and his kachibo. Rabbanan Tzavim lashon azel lashon shechrur. That's not the way you free an eved. Right, that's not the normal lashon that is used to free an eved, and therefore a shivcha kanani would not go free in that case, and he would also would not be engaged to her. The shtari rusin would be invalid. Now, the Gemara is going to go back to this issue, what we just said before, that Kamo to Amar Rabbi Bachana about Hiniach Lo Tefillin. So Amar Rabbi Shuban Levi, Eved Sheniach Tefillin Bifnei Rabo Yatzal Lecherut. An Eved that puts on Tefillin in front of his Adon, he goes free. Why is that? Because what's the status of an Eved Legabei Tefillin? So the status of an Eved Legabei Tefillin is that Tefillin are a mitzvah asei shazman groma. So Rashi points out that Laila is lav zman Tefillin. Others, Tosri point out Shabbos lav zman Tefillin. But for every reason, tefillin are a mitzvah to say shazman grama, and therefore nashim are pturot from tefillin, and certainly, and an eved kanani has the same status in mitzvot like a woman, and therefore he's also pater from putting on tefillin. Now, is there an isur for the eved kanani to put on tefillin? The answer is no, meaning that, why? Because he makes a bracha? No, that we know, Tosus l'shitato in other places says that a woman, when it comes to mitzvah sasehshiran zman grama, if they do the mitzvah, they are permitted to make a bracha, right? That's the position of Rabbeinu Tam. But the Rambam disagrees, and that's why Ashkenazim, right? Ashkenazi women make a bracha on mitzvot sasehshiran zman grama, whereas Sephardi women do not make such a bracha. So the Easter here is not bracha. So what is the Easter here? So truthfully, there is no Easter with an Eved Kanani putting on tefillin. That's not an Easter at all. But the issue here is that ain avodim regilim b'tefillin. So that's not normal. That's not because they are pturim b'tefillin. Just like an isha is not pturim b'tefillin. It's not something that you normally see that an eved kanani is putting on tefillin. Since it's not normal for an eved kanani to put on tefillin, therefore if we see him putting on tefillin in front of his adon, that's an indication of his status as a free man. So now the gemara is going to challenge this. Meitavei lo vehemenu rabo, right? Or lavami hemenu rabo. He has an Eved Kanani, and he borrows money from his Eved Kanani. Osha Sarabo Apitropus. Or his master made him into a executor over his possessions. Osha Niach Tefillin Bifnei Rabo. Or he puts on Tefillin in front of his master. Osha Karish Lashap Psukim Beit Knesset Bifnei Rabo. Or he's called up to the Torah, given an Aliyah, you know, reads three Psukim in the Beit Knesset Bifnei Rabo. In all these cases, Harizel Lo Yatzah B'Cherut. He does not go free. So this is, right, against the position of Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. Rabbi Shuv ben Levi just said when an Eved puts on tefillin for his Rav, he goes free. Over here we have a Braisa that's saying no, just the opposite. He puts on tefillin in front of his Rav, he's lo yata lecherut. So Amar Rabba bar Shilo. So this is what we just quoted above. That, kisharabo hiniach lo tefillin. That's only when his Adon is actively one putting the tefillin on the Eved. So again, in that case, we don't assume, right, that the Rav or the Adon will do any surah on behalf of his Eved. So again, so the conclusion of the Gemara over here to this point is that when it comes to an Eved, right, that takes actions that make him look like a free man, that is not sufficient to make him free. What does make him free is only when the Adon, the master himself, is engaged, right, in these demonstrable acts of the Eved, Kanani, that will make him free. So again, when he marries in front of his Rav, but again, when he marries in front of his Rav, when his Adon is engaged in his COE-Sha, involved in the Shidduch, say they were putting on tefillin in front of his Rav, only when his Adon is placing the tefillin on him. Again, since he's engaged with the Eved, that's what frees the Eved, or that's the underlying assumption that he must be a free man, because otherwise the Adon would not be engaged in Isur, Legabe Ha-Eved. And therefore, we assume he goes free, as the Tosri says, then we're kofin Rabo to ensure that he has a get shechur, and the Eved goes, and the Eved's free. But in instances where the Eved just acts without the Adon being involved, that we saw from the price, I mean, it does not give him the right, or we don't assume that he is free. And the last case we saw before, again, was the case by the Adon himself. Again, the Adon himself, if he does something that is Isura, like with Agave Yashivka Kananit, there we assume again that she's free, because just like he wouldn't do an Easter for Zevi, he won't do an Easter for himself. The only question we had was Agave, where he freed her through that Shtar Yerusin and used a funny Lashon. That was the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Right now, the next case in the Gemara. Ki Atar Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. So Rav Dimi came and said, this is the position of Rav Yochanan. Misha Amar Bishat Mitato. Here is somebody lying on his deathbed. And he says, Plonit Shivchati, you know, my dear maid servant, Aishtabduba Lacharmoti. No longer, I don't want you to place her into servitude after my death. Now, Kofin et Yoshim Kotvin La Get Shichur. We force the inheritors to provide her with a Get Shichur, because that's what their father wanted. Their father wanted her to go free of Shibut. So, Amar Lufanav, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Iatamode Shibane Avadim, don't you agree that this woman's children are still Avadim? So why are you setting her free? So what's the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Amar Vasi, or Rabbi Dimi, at least the way he's quoting Rabbi Yochanan, is that whether this, when he says to her, Al Hishtabduba, do not place her into servitude, what does that mean? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it means free her, totally free her. Al Hishtabduba, don't place her in servitude, means make her free. Rav Ami Ravasi come along and say, Rav Dimi, you're wrong. That can't be the case. Why? Because Al Yishtabduba means simply, do not place her into servitude, does not mean make her free. So what does that mean? She remains a Shifcha Kananit, but they just can't work her. So that, what's the benefit of having a Shifcha Kananit who cannot work? That's Levladot for her children, meaning because they can get the benefit, they own her children. So the Yorshim want to keep her as a Shifcha Kananit. They can marry her off to an Eved Ivri, and they can keep the offspring of this woman, even though they can't be Meshabit, but they can't use her for any other work. So that's Machlokas between Rav Ami Ravasi versus Rav Dimi explaining Rav Yochanan. Now, Kiata Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rav Yochanan. Now, Shmuel Bar Yehuda came along and says, you know what, I disagree. That's not the position of Rav Yochanan, but this is the position of Rav Yochanan. Misha Amar Bishat Mitato, a person says on his deathbed, Plonit Shifchati Korat Ruach Astali. This maidservant, my dear maidservant, she took care of me. She did something really nice for me during my life. Yase la korat ruach. Do something for her. Right? Kofin at the Yorshim vosan la korat ruach. We forced the Yorshim to do something on her behalf. My time. What's the reason? Because of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meit. It is a mitzvah to carry out the instructions of the mate. So over here, according to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, there's not an automatic assumption that she goes free, number one. And number two is, all they have to do, the Yorshim, is give her a korat ruach. They have to do something that she's happy with. Now, if she doesn't have a korat ruach until they free her, then they will have to free her in order to be mikayim the divrei ha-meit. But if they're able to satisfy her and give her some korat ruach without freeing her, that would be sufficient to kayim divrei ha-meit. So that's what Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda believes is the position of Rabbi Yochanan. And not that we automatically assume that the Yorshim are held liable for freeing the slave. Amar HaMeimar, if you remember from yesterday, we had a Meimar was brought to question the position of Amar Ula, Rabbi Yochanan, a mafkir avdo, one who makes hefkir of his eved, yotz l'cheirut, the tzarech get shichrur, and he requires to get shichrur. And then a Meimar came along there that if you're mafkir the eved, and then the master passes away, ain lo takana. So that's where they brought a question on the position of Ula, Rabbi Yochanan. As Shaul pointed out, they left that Gemara, the Gemara left that as a kasha. So now the Gemara is actually going to discuss the Meimar's position. What is the Meimar's position? Amar Meimar, a mafkir abdo, someone who was mafkir, disengaged monetarily from his eved, oto eved in lo takana. That eved has no resolution. My time, what's the reason? Gufe lo kanile, right? He no longer has any acquisition in the guf because he freed him of any monetary obligation or any monetary relationship. Isuruhu de ikigabe. Right, there's an Isur that remains, the Isur lo matzi maknile, and he can't give over to him the Isur. Now Rashi says it's even in lo takana, it's a filu b'shtar. He's unable to relinquish the Isur over here. One is because the Eved himself can't be kona the Isur, because there's no monetary item to be kona. And number two is the Baal may not be able to give him a get shichur, because the Baal no longer has that relationship of adanut over him, and therefore he may not be able to give him a get shichur. So Amar Le Rashi Le Ameimar. So Rashi says to Ameimar, "V'hamar Ula Amar Biyochanan." Then Ula Amar Biyochanan, Rav Chir Ba'Aven Amar Rav, Echad Ze Yotza LeChirut V'Tzarach Get Shichur. Right? They explicitly said that if you mafkir Eved or you're makdish your Eved, they both go free, and we require a get shechrur, which sounds like there is a takana, right? That you give a shechrur. So malay tzarech. What does it mean when Rabbi Yochanan said that tzarech get shechrur vein lo takana? So Meimar rereads or amends the position of Rabbi Yochanan to say when they say tzarech get shechrur, that means they need a get shechrur, but you're unable to give it or unable to get it, and therefore there is ein lo takana. So now, as Shaul was asking, wow, the Gemara has an ikad amrei, what the position of a Meimar is, and this is what the Gemara quoted yesterday. Amar Meimar, Hamafkir Avdo Umeit. So it's not simply Mafkir. The first Lashon of Meimar was simply if he's Mafkir, he's Evidein Lo Takana. The second Lashon, which is the Lashon the Gemara quoted yesterday, was Hamafkir Avdo Umeit, and then passes away, Oto Evidein Lo Takana, my taima. Gufe Lo Konile. So again, his Guf, he is not Konile. Isuruhu De Ika Gabe. Isuruhu De Brei Lo Morit. Right, again, he doesn't have full possession of himself, but he has the monetary possession, not the full possession, but without the monetary possession, right, he cannot pass it on Yerusha to his children, because there's no monetary aspect to pass on. Yerusha only applies to Yerusha, and he can't be freed because there's still this Isura that's astounding, and nobody can free him from that Isur, because the original Adon's dead, and the Yorshim haven't inherited anything here because there was nothing monetarily to pass down this Eved to them. So now they're going to challenge the Meimar from the position of Rav Dimi Amar Yochanan to Rav Dimi, that when Rav Dimi Amar Yochanan came along, what did it say? What did he said over there? That when a father passes away and says that you should alishtabdu beplonit, do not place him under servitude, what do we do to the Yorshim? Kofinoto, to give him a shtar. So you see that even though he was mafkir the Eved, right? I mean, he said alishtabduba, that she's freed, nevertheless, they still required the Yorshim to give a get shechrur. According to you, Ameimar, the Yorshim have no ability to give a get shechrur. So why did Rav Dimi Amar Yochanan say such a thing? So he says, the Rav Dimi Ta'utui. We know that Rav Dimi's wrong. Why? Because of the challenge of Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Rav Ami and Rav Asi challenged Rav Dimi and said, how could you say this? Right? We know that her banei are avadim. So he said back, Rav Ashi said back to him, Amar Lei, my Ta'utu. What's the mistake of Rav Dimi? When Rav Ami and Rav Asi came and argued on Rav Dimi, Delo Amar B'Lushon Shechrur, because he used an inappropriate language. When he said, Al Yishtabdu Ba, that's not a Lashon of freeing. That's simply a Lashon of do not, right, place her into servitude. Ha Amar B'Lushon Shechrur, had he said, for instance, Amafkir, my Shifcha, then even Rav Ami and Rav Asi, Ochanami, they would agree to the position of Rav Dimi. So you see, the only question between Rav Dimi and Rav Ami and Rav Asi was a question of what Lashon, what language the Adon used. But according to all of them, if he uses an appropriate Lashon that frees them, then what does Rav Dimi and Rav Yochanan say? That after he passes away, we take the Yorshim and we're kofen on time, we force them to give a get shechur to the Shifcha Knanit. And that's against the position of a Meimar. A Meimar just said what? That if you're mafkir Evet, umate, right? The Evet ain't no takana, has no takana. And yet over there we said Rav Yochanan said that he does require a get shechur. And we know already. I mean, this is not news to us because that's the question yesterday. Amar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan was exactly this. We said based on this that Yevet said shechur. The conclusion from that position of Rabbi Yochanan and Ula, or Amar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, should have been that when the Adon passes away, that the Yorshim should give a get shechur. And yet a Meimar said in Lo Takano, and the Gemara left it as a kasha because you cannot reconcile between a Meimar and Rabbi Yochanan. Again, we see that here today. Can't reconcile between the position of Rav Yochanan and a Meimar. So Amar Lei, so a Meimar says, no problem. I don't have a problem with this Rav Dimi. Why? Ana k'drav Shmuel bar Yehuda sfirli. I hold, not like Rav Dimi on Rav Yochanan, but rather like the Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, who said over in the name of Rav Yochanan. Meaning that he argues on this Rav Dimi, and he disagrees with that position of Rav Dimi. That not only he says that, first of all, Rabbi Yochanan never said such a thing, and Rav Ami and Rav Asi never responded, right? And then, right, when he said the issue of Korat Ruach, right, he never eliminated the Yorshim. Because when he says, give Korat Ruach to this woman, then the Yorshim inherit the woman, because he didn't take away the monetary aspect of the woman. There's money there. If there's money there, then he can be Morishit to his children, and then his children have to carry out his instructions. That sounds like a Meimar. I mean, as long as there's money or monetary connection left there, then it can pass to the Yorshim, and that's what a Meimar says. I hold like Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda in the name of Rav Yochanan, not like Rav Dimi in the name of Rav Yochanan. All right, so that's it. Just to, again, quickly to review now what we've seen so far, again, in this part of the Gemara, is the question of once you have an Eved Kanani that has been, if you've mafkir this Eved Kanani, what's the status of the Eved Kanani after you've been mafkir this Eved Kanani? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, right, even after you're mafkir the Eved Kanani, you still require a get shechur, tzarech get shechur, and if he's the Adon is, right, if the Adon is mate, right, over there in the Gemara yesterday, we said that in that case, right, that a person should be go free even without a get shechur, just like an isha. Just like an isha does not require a get after the death of the husband, so too, the Eved should not require a get shechur, right, once the person passes away. What we don't see is today, Rav Dimi in the name of Rav Yochanan does not say that. Rav Dimi in the name of Rav Yochanan says that even when the Adon passes away, we still require a get shechur. So based on this, Rav Yochanan is going to say, when you're mafkir avdo, whether the Adon is mate or whether the Adon is not mate, we require a get shechur. The only question is, who's giving the get shechur? Is it the Adon himself giving the get shechur, or are the Yorshim that are giving the get shechur? So that's the position of Rav Dimi. We say that Rav Ami and Rav Asi, who question Rav Dimi, only question him about the Lashon used by the Adon, but not the principle that he establishes. Rav Amemar, who comes along, we have two possibilities in the Lashon of Amemar. One possibility in the Lashon of Amemar is that if he's Mafkir is Eved, then Ein Lo Takana. And that, again, will go against that position of Rabbi Yochanan, who says Mafkir Eved Tzarech Get Shechur. Rav Amemar says it's not a problem, because when he said Tzarech Get Shechur, he means he needs to get Shechur, but he can't get it. So that's the way he explains that position of Rabbi Yochanan. The other position of a Meimar, which is the Igad Amri, is that a Mafkir Abdo Mate Ein Lo Takana. So again, that goes against Rav Dimi, who says that when the Adon passes away, the children give the Get Shechur. Meimar says Ein Lo Takana, there is no way to get him out of that problem. That's a Meimar's position, and the position of Dimi Amr Rabbi Yochanan, who are, right, again, cannot be, in a sense, cannot be reconciled. Now we have this position of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, who says Rav Dimi's wrong. And Rabbi Yochanan agrees that without a monetary piece there, without a monetary connection to the Eved, you can't pass it on to the Yorshim. And he would agree that to a Meimar's vision, that Ein Lo Takana. And that's what a Meimar says in the end. I hold like Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yehuda. All right, so now the Gemara brings down a new case. Hau discarto de Avde. It's a city of slaves. These Dabin Oved Kochavim was sold out to non-Jews. So if you remember, when you sell to a non-Jew, an Eved Kanani is sold to a non-Jew, you can only sell his Maisa Yadayim. You can't sell his Gufo, right? The Shibra Guf can't be sold, but his Maisa Yadayim can be sold to the Eved Kanani. So now, when it says, Kalu Marvata Batrai, so the second owners basically ended their ownership. However they ended their ownership, they were the Mafkir, the Avadim, whatever they relinquished their ownership over these Avadim. Atu the Kameh the Ravina. So these Avadim, these Eved Kananim came before Ravina and says, we want to go marry Bat Chorin, we want to go marry Jewess, you know, regular Jews. So I'm low, Zilu Ahaju Abnei Marvata Kamai. Go find the children of the original owners, the original Jewish owners. And they'll write for you a get cherut. So what do you see over here? Where's the Shibra Guf? The Shibra Guf was with the original Jewish owners. The Maisi Adayim, the monetary aspects, were sold out to these non-Jews. The non-Jews relinquished their control, disengaged from them, so the monetary aspects, they're free. It's equivalent to being Mafkir Abdo. And what does Ravina say to do? He says that the children were Yoresh, right? The children were Yoresh, the ability to free them from this Shibud Aguf. Who does this sound like? That sounds like Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan, that person who's Mafkir is Eved and then dies, right? That you needed to get Shechur from the Yorshim, and the Yorshim are able to provide that get Shechur. So it sounds like Ravina is paskening like Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. So Amar Ulay the Rabbanon the Ravina, Vaha Amar Meimar, Dina Meimar say Amafkir Avdo Mate Oto Eved No Takana. Right. So we know that Meimar disagrees with that position of Dimar Biyochanan. That Meimar says that if you Amafkir Eved and then he dies, Ein Lo Takana. So if that's the case, how could you say to these guys, go get a get shechur from the children of the original owners? So Amar Ulay Anak Rav Dimi Sfirli. I have no problem. I hold like Rav Dimi. Right. So Amar Ulay the Rav Dimi Tautoi. They said Rav Dimi was rejected. Rav Ami Rav Asi questioned the whole position of Rav Dimi and said that it doesn't make sense. No, Rav Ami Rav Asi, why did they disagree with Rav Dimi? Because he used a lashon of Al Yishtabduba. But had he used a proper lashon shechur, they would agree to they agree in principle to the concept of what Rav Dimi says. They just disagree with how he did it, meaning the Al Yishtabduba was a failure. So Ha'am Lom Rav Shalom Shechur, had they done it in a lashon shechur, then Hochanami, it would work, and they would agree that the Yorshim are able to free them through a get shechur. And the Gemara concludes, Hilchos Ravina. Halacha is like Ravina, which means, right, that the halacha is like Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan, which is that a Yorish can be Meshachrer, a Eved, Kenani, even though he has no Kinyan on him. He has no Kinyan Mamonos on him. He just simply has a Shibra Guf. That Shibra Guf can be passed on to the Yorshim, and then the Yorshim can free him through a Get Shichra. That was the conclusion of the Gemara. It's now a very, very interesting case here. How Avdo de Beitrei. You have an Eved Kenani that's owned by two people. Right? Kam Chad Minayu B'Shacharei. One of them gets up, and one of the Adonim frees him. So now the Pagei. So Amar Idoch, Hashto Shame Bei Rabbonon. Now the rabbis are going to hear about this. And they're going to force me to free the other half, because we're going to see this in a Mishnah coming up. But basically, in this case, because the Eved is now in a difficult position, which is what's the difficult position for the Eved? He can't marry a Bat Korin because he's still half an Eved, right? He's still half an Eved Ivri, Eved Kanani, I'm sorry. And he can't marry a Shifcha Kanani because he's a half a Ben Chorin. So now he's going to move a Vatel from Piria River or the Shevet Yatzra. So Chamim say over there that we are Kofin Rabbo to free him. We Kofin the second Rab to free him to marry. So now the Gemara says, so this guy's smart. He knows what's going to happen. He knows this other guy freed him. Now they're going to come and force me to free him. So what does he do? Also, Akne Levno HaKatan. He goes and is Makne it to his child. He's Makne the Eved to the child. Why? Because once it's in the hands of the child, Beis Din can't force the child to do anything. Because when we say Kofin Oto, that only applies to a Gadol. We don't say Kofin Oto by a Katan. So he basically gives over ownership of this Eved Kenani to his son, his minor son. So Shalcha Rav Yosef Breid Rabba, the Kamei de Rav Papa. So Rav Yosef Breid Rabba sent this case to Rav Papa to ask him what the halacha should be. Shalach Le Kasher Sa, Ken Yaselo, Gmulo Yashiv Lo Birosho. The way he acted, we'll do to him, and we'll return the favor, we'll pay his price for what he did. Anan, Kimlan B'Yunoka. We know that children, the Mekarva Datu Legabizu, they love money. They love coins, they love money. So Mekmini Le Apotropos. So let's set up an executor for this child, for this katan. And then we'll show him some money. And then we'll write a get cherut, a get shechur on his behalf. What happened here? All right, so let's go. We're going to go with Rashi's interpretation first, and then we'll explain the problems with Rashi's interpretation, and then we'll give a possible answer. Tosfos gives a possible answer for the problems in Rashi, and then we'll discuss what Tosfos says, how he explains this Gemara. It's a very, very interesting Gemara. So what do we have here? We have an Eved Kenani that is half-owned, right, by one Adon and half-free. So forgetting about the half-free part, this Adon goes ahead and gives his half-ownership over to his son, who's a minor. So the minor is Kone. We know that a Katan can be Kone. So this Katan's Kone the item. Once he's Kone the item, which is the Eved Kenani, we can't extract it from him. So how do we extract the item? How do we get this Eved Kenani to be freed by the Katan? So this is a suggestion of a Papa says, no problem. What we're going to do is we're going to entice him to free him. How are we going to entice him to free him? We're going to hold money in front of him. We're going to show him money and say, listen, you free this guy, you're going to get a bunch of money. And what happens is the Eved takes money, and then he says, I'll pay you. The Eved buys his other freedom out on the other half by giving the money to the Katan. So why does that work? Right? Why does it work that once we put money in front of the Katan that we can do this? So Rashi says, why is this? Because he says, "Batinok zeh." We're going to see this in the Gemara coming up, on the further up in the Gemara. That tinok zeh mecho mekach. His transactions are a transaction. Memkar memkar b'metaltalin. When it comes to movable objects, non-real property, right? That the Chachamim said that a child can transact, right? That because of tikkun olam, that a child can transact in metaltalin. So over here, we're going to say that the Pu'uta here, he has the ability to transact. So even though we can't force the Katan to free this slave, nevertheless, we can entice him to transact with us. So we entice him to transact with us by showing him the money that he's going to get. Now, why do we need an apitropos? What's the apitropos here for? Right? I mean, why are we appointing an executor and apitropos for him? So the apitropos, according to Rashi, is here simply to ensure that the Katan gets the full value. He becomes the representative of the Katan to ensure, the agent of the Katan, to ensure that we're giving him market price. What's the market price for this half an Eved? This 50% that we buy it out at market price? That's the job of the Apitropos. And then, what do we say? Kofin, what do we do? Katav le gitichir to Hashmei. We write, according to Rashi, we write a get shichror from the katan. Katan writes a get shichror and he signs on it to get the money. He signs on a get shichror, and that's how we get him to be free. Right? So that's, according to Rashi, the explanation of the Gemara. What's the problem with Rashi? What's the problem with Rashi is, what's the din freeing a Eved Kenani, right? What's the din of freeing an Eved Kenani so that he can go marry a Bat Chorin? That's basically a din d'oraisa. Right? That's a din d'oraisa, meaning that the ability to marry or the restriction of a Bat Chorin to marry an Eved Kenani is a din d'oraisa. The fact that Mekchan Mekach and Memkara Mekam Metaltalim for a Katan is a din d'rabonon. That's only a din d'rabonon. And the din d'rabonon says that when it comes to mentality, when it comes to movable property, when it comes to non-real property, that Ketanim have the ability to transact mipnei tikkun olam. So therefore, what do we have here? We have, because of hefker, basically hefker, that we say that the transactions of a katan work or are real, even though technically they're not. So how can we here have a din d'rabbanan that says now that the katan is basically, you know, freeing this slave, and then we're allowing him to engage in a din d'oraisa, which is that he's going to go marry a bat chorin. And that's the problem here. So how can we have this, according to Rashi, we give a get shichur from a katan to this eved, and we freeing him based on the get shichur of a katan who has no ability mi d'oraisa to do anything. And now we're allowing this eved to go and marry min haTorah, to marry a woman, a bat chorin. So how could that be? So the Tosfos Reed answers for Rashi. It's a really interesting answer. The Tosfos Reed says, no problem. You know what? I'll tell you too. Guess what? The fact that the katan was kone this item is also only midrabonon. Right? So he says, what? Because by metaltalin, ovid rabonon takanta mishum kedei chayov. There's only a takana derabonon that a katan can acquire and can give over property, can transact. It's because of kedei chayov. So he says that what? That there's no schia lakata midoraisa. That's what Tosfos Reed says. There's no way. Very good. So that's Tosfos yesterday. Right? Tosfos yesterday said that's when it's das makne. Right? Das makne can overcome the problem of that a katan is no schia midoraisa. That's what Tosfos says. You see clearly here that Tosfos Reed disagrees with that. But the read disagrees with that and says that it's only a din dirabonon, that there's a schia for a katan. Katan has a schia midirabonon, and once he has a schia midirabonon, right, then he can't give it up. So you could say that the din in Lulav is also, there's a schia midirabonon, and then he can't give it back to you. Midirabonon. So he says, she'en schia lakata midaraisa klau, ki im midirabonon. So now, v'cho moshinotnim lo matana midaraisa, eno matana, v'lo kona el midirabonon. So it doesn't read, it says, I don't have any problem here. What did the father do? He gave over the Eved to his son, but that doesn't work, d'oraisa. That's only midrabanan that the katan took it. So now when the katan writes to get shichur, he's also freeing him midrabanan. What's the problem with that? Who still owns the Eved? The father. So that's what the Tosfos Reed says here. You know what? We're kofing the father to free the Eved too. There's two get shichurs here. There's this whole patent that the Gemara comes up with to get shichur from the katan, which is a midrabanan. And there's a second get shichur that's written by the father that we're kofenoto. There, we don't even talk about it. The Gemara doesn't talk about it because you're kofenoto. You force him to give a get shichur. By forcing him to give a get shichur, then the Eved is free. So that's how the Tosfos Reed overcomes the problems with Rashi Pshat. Rashi Pshat has a problem because we're dealing with a din d'rabanan, a freeing a slave midrabanan. And it has application midoraisa. The Tosfos Reed says, no. The whole thing is midrabanan. The katan never was acquiring it midoraisa, only midrabanan. He's freeing a midrabanan. What about the shibud doraisa? That we forced the father. We're coping the father to give a get shechur, and he frees him midoraisa. That's the way Tosfos Reed solves this issue for Rashi. Tosfos, on the other hand, gives two other possible pshatim in what happened here because of this problem that the katan can't be involved. So Tosfos gives one pshat that the katan le gital shmei is the apitropus. That the executor that we appointed for him writes a get shichur on behalf of the katan. Now, generally, an apitropus is not allowed to do that. He can't go free a slave on behalf of the katan. Why? Because then he's mechay. It's a chov. An apitropus can only act to the benefit of the katan. If he frees the slave, this is not to the benefit of the katan. So why over here is he allowed to write a get shichur? So that's what it says. Afal be the ba'al meino apitropsi mersham lo tzion lecherut. Over here, generally, an apitropus can't free a slave. Of a hocha came into also shloka hogan. Because the father acted inappropriately, Hefkihu Beisdin, Venadullah Apichopus to Shachro. Beis Hefker, Beis and Hefker, they took away the Evan and gave it to the Apichopus, to the executor, and therefore the executor can act and free the slave. That's one answer Tosos gives that we're talking about here. And truthfully, Tosos says, if that's the case, what do you need this kushkushe of Kzuze? Why do you have to shake the money in front of the katan? If Beis and Hefker, and we gave it to the Apichopus, the executor, why do you have to convince the katan of anything? So Tosos says, that's just to make it look good. Listen to this. Tosos says, Ubelo kirkushe zuze lo ratzu Beis and Hefker. Beis didn't want to do Hefker, Beis and Hefker without this patent of giving the money to the katan. Why? It's not right to do something against the das of a child. So they wanted to get the acquiescence of the child, even though it wasn't necessary. They wanted to get the acquiescence of the child. But the way this freedom works is that they were hefker based in hefker, and they give over the ability to the apitropos to give him a get shichur. Why does he need a get shichur? Right? So that's the Rabbeinu Tam answers a little bit. Rabbeinu Tam afterwards gives a second explanation. He says, it's not a knas here that we're freeing him, but it's medina. Right, because the din is that the apitropos can free him derech mechira. Why don't we allow it? So he says elamechse mishum chucha v'tilula. He says it looks like a big joke when we give it over to the executor to sell it. Why? Shetinoko made v'tzoveach shelo limkar. Right, the child is saying, I don't want to sell him. I don't want to sell him. And Beis Din comes in and says and sells him because the father taught the child to say, I don't want to sell him. So now what do? So now you can have lazat svatayim. People are going to start murmuring about this evidence. He's not really free. This katan thing is not free. So what do? So we makakesh lezuze to convince the child not to listen to his father and say, okay, you know what? True. Yeah, we'll give over. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to question this guy at all. And therefore, you can give him a get, right? And truthfully, we don't need a get shichur at all. Why don't you need a get shichur? Because once you have money, right, we know that a Eved goes free in one of two ways, be kesef or be get shichur. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, once you pay the money, the Eved goes free. So why do we require get shichur? We require get shichur because it's done against the will of the Av, Midr Abanan, and therefore we worry about the father might come back again and say he's really my slave, and then we have nothing to prove it. So we go ahead and get him a get shichur to say, look, he's got a document, and then nobody can go back and question his ability to free him. Okay, so again, Rashi learns the get shichur is coming from the katan over here. We introduced the problem that how can a katan give a get shichur with only the rabbanon from a katan and solve a problem deoraisa? That's Tosfos really answered and said no, that the whole thing's the rabbanon because the katan only has chia mi the rabbanon, so therefore he frees him mi the rabbanon. And we get the get shichur from the adon, the master mi deoraisa, and we force him to give it. Tosfos on the other hand says the get shichur is coming from the apitropos. Both positions in Tosfos say it's coming from the apitropos, from the executor. The first one says that we hefker beis can hefker, and it's given over to the apitropos, and that's why the apitropos goes ahead and is meshachar the eved, even though generally we don't say that he can do that, but here it's hefker beis and hefker. Technically, we wouldn't need the katan's acquiescence at all. We get it because we don't want him to look, it doesn't look right. If the katan's saying, I don't want to free him, and we free him, so we do that just to get him on board. Rabbeinu Tam said that truthfully, we don't even need to get shachar at all. I mean, that the whole thing, we gave him money here to stop the katan from complaining. By giving him a kesed pidyon, the evidence free, we get the geshichra just to back up the position here so that we don't have anybody coming later on and questioning what we did or what had taken place. Now, the Gemara continues. Tanra Abonon, Hamer, Asiti Ploni Avdi Ben Chorin. Right? I made this, my evid a Ben Chorin. Asui Ben Chorin, he was made a Ben Chorin. Harihu Ben Chorin, he is a Ben Chorin. Harihu Ben Chorin, in all these cases, he's a free person. All these Lashonot, right, or Lashonot that sound like he freed him already. Esenu ben Chorim, I will make him free. Rabbi Omer Kana, Rabbi says in this case that he was Kone. B'chomer mim lo Kana. B'chomer says he's not Kone. Why is he not Kone? Because, when he says Esenu ben Chorim, do we assume that he is, right, making a statement of he is free, meaning that he will be free? Or does he make a statement that I will free him, or I will think about freeing him, or I might free him, you know, in the future? Right, so Rabbi says he's konen and that it works. Chachamim say it doesn't work. Rabbi Yochanan, says kulan b'shtar. All of these are in a shtar. I mean, it's not that he said it orally, that he said any of these lashonot orally to him, because if he says it orally, that's not a way to free him. That doesn't free the Eved over here. Because that Rashi brings it down. He says that he had heard pshat like that, that it wasn't that they basically freed him through the word, and that was the equivalent of being mafkir. All these lashonot are mafkir, and then he requires a get shechur to get rid of the isur. Over here, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan means, kulan b'shtar, that he also need to get shichur in addition to this amira. Rashi rejects this, Tosfos, all the other Rishonim rejects this, and they say that what kulan b'shtar means that this is what he wrote in the shtar. But instead of writing Hariat ben Chorin, right, in the shtar, he wrote, right, that Ploni Avdi ben Chorin or Asui ben Chorin. That was the lashon he used in the shtar. And in the shtar, that works. I mean, that is his get shechur. So in all these cases, when he uses this lashon, that is his get shechur. Whereas when he uses the lashon of Esenu, right, that the chamim bliz al avtocha. It's not a shtar shechur, but rather a promise or a commitment that he will free him in the future, but he hasn't actually freed him, and therefore he can reverse his position. As opposed to Rabbi, who says when he's saying ben chorin, means that he's giving him a get shechur, and that he is free, and that he's not making a promise, but actually acting on that. Tara Abanan, so you have an exact same case by Karka. It's a dental case. Omer natati sadeh ploni leploni. Right, I gave over this field to this person as a gift. Netuna leploni, it is given to this person. Hari shalo, it's his. Hari shalo. In all these cases, right, it works. The gift is a good gift. At nena leploni, I will give this as a gift to someone. Right, the gear seer is changed by the Bach, says probably should be Rabbi. Rabbi Omer kana, chomim lo kana. Again, same machlokes we had above. And I'm Rabbi Yochanan kulan shtar. Same qualification for Rabbi Yochanan over here that they all have to be written in a shtar. I mean, not that he gave him matana and now he's writing a shtar raya for it. No, but rather what? That in the shtar matana, this is the lashon he used in the shtar matana, and does that work in a shtar matana? Okay, next case. Tana Rabbanan. Omer asiti ploni abdi ben chorin. Right, he says, I freed my slave. Vehu Omer lo asani. And the slave says, he never freed me. So there we're choshesh that the slave is really free because we say that he did it through a third party and that the other person was zocha yedei the eved to free him. Now, but in a case where he says katafti v'natati lo, I wrote his get shechur and I gave it to him v'omer lo katavli, and he says he never wrote me anything v'lo natanli, and he never gave it to me. So in that case, we can't say it was mishachar al yedei acher, that he did it through someone else. Why? Because he said, I gave it directly to him, and the Eved says, I don't. He didn't give it to me. So Gemara says, that baldin kameyedin dami, that the admission of a baldin is equivalent to meyedin dami, and therefore the Eved, or the Adon, can reverse his position over here, that since the Eved agrees that he's not free, we believe the Eved, and he doesn't go free. So you're going to ask me, so why don't we just believe the Adon also? He's also a dat baldin. He's saying, I did free him. So why do we believe the Eved over the Adon? Why do we say the Eved is the Hodat Baldin and not the Makneh? So both Tosfos and Rashi over here say, because the one who gives over, all he did was he sent the Gev Shechor and he thought it was accepted. But he doesn't know for certain that it was accepted. I mean, that he's the one who thought, I mean, the person who's Makneh just says he gives it over. He never really knows or certain that it was accepted or properly accepted. Only the acceptee can make that claim. So the Eved is the acceptee, is the only one who can make a definitive claim that it wasn't accepted. The giver can't make that claim, and therefore his Hodat Baldin has no relevance, because it could be that everything he's saying is true, and yet it's still not a get shechur, because the Eved never took it or never really accepted it. All right, now, Homer. Again, the same case in Sadeh. Homer, it's Natati Sadeh Ploni to Ploni. Vehu Homer lo Natanli. Right, he says, I gave it to him, and he says, I never received it, this present. Again, we think that he gave it to a third party, and that third party was Zocha on behalf of the recipient of the Matana. But if he says to him, right, that Katavti v'natati lo, I wrote him a shtar Matana and I gave it to him. V'omer lo katav lo natanli, he never wrote it, he never gave it to me, then Odat Baldin k'me'edin dami. And again, we say that we believe the recipient, and since the recipient is believed, then the gifter can now reverse his position and not give the gift, because it has not been finalized. Now, mi ochel perot, who eats the fruits here? Who eats the produce of this field? Well, as we determined the person says that he never received it. Well, the Gemara says it's kmei edim dummy. So does that mean he's a if it's a case of mei edim, then there's nothing to talk about over here. Then it's not his field, and the giver is the one who keeps the fruits. The Gemara, that's basically what the Gemara is going to answer, but we're going to see how the Gemara answers that. So he eats the fruits. Ruchis damar notein ochel perot, the gifter eats the fruits. Rabba Amar, Rishalshina ta Peirot. That we actually take the Peirot, put it in the hands of a third party. Rashi says, Achivoy Leo. We wait till Leo. But basically, because we're not sure if it belongs to the gifter or to the recipient of the gift, right, the giftee. So we don't know who really owns it here. So we leave it in a Safek. So below Pligian, they don't argue. Haba Abba, Haba Bra. This is the father or the son. I mean, if we're talking about the recipient himself, who says, I never received it, he's believed fully, and therefore the gifter is the one who keeps the fruits, because there's no question here, it belongs to the gifter, there was no gift. Whereas if the son of the recipient says, my father never received such a gift, he can never make a definitive claim, because he wasn't there. He'll never know, he thinks his father never received it, but he says he can't make a definitive claim, we say it's a suffix, it's a suffix of the giver and the receiver, and since it's a suffix, then it goes, Mishal Shalin, and we leave it at Shivo Eliyahu. All right, so Eved, Chesel rabo aputiki la'achirim. It's a person made his evet as collateral for a loan, right? Or this is a directed collateral. This was the collateral on the loan. Vishukhuro, and then he frees him. Shurata din ena evin chayav klum. The evet is not responsible for anything. Elam ifnei tikkun olam, but because of tikkun olam, kofin et rabo vosoto ben chorin. We forced the Adon, the master, to free him. V'kotev shtar al damav. Then we write a document to obligate him for the monetary value. Shem gamlir amir, eno kotev elam ishachver. He doesn't write anything and just frees him. So now, this mission is cryptic. The Gemara is going to go for the first explanation, which is according to a Rav, and then Ulo will leave for tomorrow, which is another explanation of the Gemara. Rav's going to explain this Mishnah. Mi shechrero, who freed him? So Amarav, Rabo Rishon, his first master freed him. After making him collateral, directed collateral for a loan, he frees him. Shurata dinen evet chayev klum, the Rabo Sheni. This evet has no responsibility to the second master, Kidravo, because like Rava says, Amarav, Hektesh, Chametz, Vishichur, Mafkin, Midei Shibud. All of these items remove any obligation, any shibud, any lien on the property is removed by Hektesh. Rashi over here says only Hektesh Aguf. The Ran in the Dharm says also Hektesh Aguf. Rabbeinu Tam, the Re here says that. The Rabbeinu Tam argues even Hektesh Damim can remove this. But anytime you're Makdish an item, it removes any liens that are on that property. Same thing with Chametz. Chametz is Avar on Pesach. Chametz comes to a Pesach, then it's shifted into the ownership of the Jew, and it removes any liens that are on that Chametz. And the same thing with Shechur. When you free an Evet, all liens on that Everett are removed at that point in time. Mafkimi de Shibut. So it's over here. When he frees him, the liens are gone. Elam ipnei tikkun olam. What does it mean? Ipnei olam? Shem yimtzeinu bashuk. Somebody, he'll find him in the shuk, the second master. Vayomer lo avdiatan. He'll say, you're my slave. And this is your collateral for my loan. You're my slave. So therefore, kofinet rabo sheni vosoto ben chorim. We force his second master, the one who had him as collateral, to give him a document of freedom. Vakotev evet shtar al damav. And then the evet obligates himself to repay the money. I mean, he says, give me my freedom from the second, Rav, we take it all up, and then he says, I'll pay you for that freedom. Shem Gomer, in Evid Kotev, Ela Meshachrer, right? The Evid doesn't have to obligate himself for anything. He's not chayv any of the money. He just freed him. Hey, Meshach Kotev, so my Kamiflegay, what are they arguing about? Bimazik Shibudo Shochavero Kamiflegay. It's when you damage the collateral of your friend. The Mar Saver Chayav, Omar Saver Paltor. Right, that's the machlokas in the Mishnah. The Tanakham believes that you're chayif when you damage the collateral of your friend. And marzaver potter, you're potter when you damage the collateral of your friend. So eat my nami, amazik shibudo shachavero banal machlokas rabishimen gomle over abonon. So we see that we have that explanation. When it comes to being hurting the collateral of your friend, that there is an obligation, therefore, to repay the loan that is there, or repay the collateral that's there. And this is not dini de garmi. Right, in general, we have a machlokas in dini de garmi. Here, Tosfos says, even according to the one who says normally dinei de gamri is potter, over here, the collateral, when you take away someone else's collateral, that might be, that person says you're potter by dinei de gamri might be mechayev in this instance. And of course, there's only a case where this is directed collateral, where the evidence is only collateral. Meaning that if he didn't obligate the collateral and say that he has a lien on all of his property, because then once he takes away the collateral, he loses everything by taking away the evidence. In that case, that's the damage, and he needs to be repaid for that damage. Okay, we'll stop over here. Ulo will give an alternative explanation for the Mishnah tomorrow. No problem. Wait.